we often see that there are book lists that are published, and many people in our society want to be reading what is on those popular lists. There's the New York Times bestseller list. And if you'll go to a bookstore, or if you go to the bookstore at the airport, people are traveling, they want to read the latest thing. They want to read what's on the New York Times bestseller book list. Sometimes you'll see that a book is judged by how many weeks it stays on that list, or a book will be published and there'll be a little circle in the corner that'll say was number 3 on the New York Times bestseller list. We have these reading lists that are popular. I know Oprah Winfrey at one time, she may still have her book club, and when she recommends a book that is to be read, people go out and buy that book. These are popular books that people have in their minds. I want us to talk this morning about those books that are important to God. In our scripture reading in Revelation chapter 20, books will be opened and man will be judged according to those books. We're interested in what God is reading. We're interested in what is on His list. There are many books out there, and of the making of many books, there is no end, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 12. And there are billions of books all over the world, and even in our electronic age where we're getting away from paper books, we're continuing to print many books, including those in electronic format, and there will be many more printed. Books are important to us, but which ones? There are approximately 142 million books in the Library of Congress. That's a lot of volumes. And that's just one library. If you were to add up all the libraries around the world, there would be billions of books. And so Solomon's statement is literally true: of the making of many books, there is no end. Which books are important to us? We have these reading lists. We have these bestseller lists. And books are important. I guess if you've ever been in that back room back there, you've seen that they're kind of important to me. I like books. When we moved here, there was one set of bookshelves, and I said, can we build another set? And in 17 years, I've covered all four walls. And then other rooms have books of mine. I enjoy books. I enjoy reading. I enjoy researching and studying and looking. But which books are important? I think some books were probably important to Paul. He told Timothy, bring the books, especially the parchments, and bring my cloak before winter. There were some things that, out of all of his possessions, that were important to him, and some of those were books. Of course, in Bible times, when we read about books, we're not talking about the kind that we have today with a hardcover and a binding. Book, as it's used in the Old and New Testament, often meant a roll or a scroll. But nonetheless, to them, a way in which to record information. What books are on God's reading list? I want us to talk about five this morning. Because in the end of time, that's all that's going to matter. In Revelation chapter 20, those books that are important to God, those are going to be the ones read and opened in the judgment day. And all of these other lists and book clubs that we've been a part of will mean nothing in that day. When we look in the Word of God, of course, we find, first of all, the book of God's Word. It's called the book of the law. It's variously given names in the Old Testament as the book of the law of Moses, or the book of the law of the Lord, or the book of the covenant. What we have here this morning is, in our hands, the very Word of God. And out of all the books that are to be written and read, this is the one that we need to be putting a priority on. Isaiah says in chapter 34 and verse 16, seek out the book of the Lord and read. Out of all of our books in our libraries and out of all of our electronic books on our Kindles, and those are fun and those are nice, make sure that we are keeping God's Word at the forefront of our reading list and at the top of our reading list. When we don't understand and know God's Word, we will be a people destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. We need to continue seeking out the book of God's Word. It's important to keep these words. I find it interesting that the very last thing that is said in our Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 21, some of the final things that are said there in our Bibles has to do with keeping the Word of God and not adding to the Word of God. We cannot take God's inspired Word and mix it and mingle it with the words of men. And so in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27, those that go to heaven are those who keep the Word of God. Chapter 21 and verse 27, "And there shall be no wise enter into anything unclean, but only they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." In chapter 22 and verse 7, "Blessed is he that keepeth the words of this book," that is, hears it and obeys it, again in verse 9. And in chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, the last admonition is not to add to or take from the words of this book. And so God's Word is the first one on the reading list that we need to consider this morning. Out of all the things that could be read and studied in school, out of all the things that can be read and studied in our libraries, we need to keep God's Word, the book of God's Word, the 66 books of the Bible. We need to be seeking that, and we need to be keeping those words, and we do not need to be altering that. Make sure that our young people, as parents, make sure that we're putting a premium on the book of God's Word. Our children may have favorite subjects of history and social studies and geography and music and other kinds of things, and there are books related to that and book fairs, and can I buy a book at the book fair? And that's great, because reading is an important part of our education and learning, but the most important book is that of the Word of God. There's another book on God's reading list, and that is the Book of Deeds. Do you know that each day you are writing a chapter in your book of deeds? And really, what you're doing is the most important thing. And the most important biography, if you will, that is out there. Again, look at Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. The books will be opened, and man will be judged according to those books, what they've done. And so we need to talk about there's this second book that God has and that He reads from and that He records in, and that is what we're doing each day. You know, there are many biographies out there that have been written recording the deeds of various athletes and politicians and celebrities, and every year one of these three will come out with a book and something involving their life, or one of the former presidents will write a book about the deeds and the things that they've done. God is reading from another kind of biography. He's reading from not those, but the book of deeds in the case of each and every one of our lives. The great deeds of Bible characters have been recorded. There's a common statement, one example is in 2 Chronicles 35, verse 26, where involving the lives of the kings, that their deeds were written in the book of the kings or the book of the chronicles. We need to understand that God is writing a book of the lives of each and every one of us. Job, in Job 19, verses 23 and 24, cried, "Oh, that my words were written in a book." You know what? That actually happened. His words were written in a book. I find that interesting. "Oh, that my words would be written in a book." And they were, and recorded for all time. Nehemiah said, "Lord, remember me and my deeds." Nehemiah 13 and verse 14. And we have a book called Nehemiah that remembered that very thing. Both of those men was granted that wish, and a book of deeds was written about them. But you know what? A book is written for each and every one of us. Turn with me to Psalm 56 and verse 8. There's another book that God has, and it's added to every day. And that is your own individual book of deeds. God knows your wanderings. He knows your whereabouts. He knows what you're doing each day. And in Psalm 56 and verse 8, "Thou numberest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" David knew that he had a book, that God had a book recording his wanderings and his deeds and what he does on a daily basis. Turn with me to Psalm 139 and verse 16. "Even when we're in the womb, God knows all things, and He has a plan for us." In Psalm 139 and verse 16, "Thine eyes did see my unformed substance," talking about the baby in the mother's womb. "In thy book they were all written," what? "Even the days that were ordained for me." when as yet there was none of them. And so this is a book because God has a foreknowledge and He can know into the future all things. It's as if a book of every deed of yours has already been written and God knows what those things are. And then as you do what you do, it is added to that book. You know, that statement in Psalm 56 and verse 8, all of my wanderings are written in thy book. Are they not in thy book, David says? You know, that can either be a comforting thought if we're living right, or it can be a sobering thought if we're not living right. But I want you to think about that. God's reading list has a book. It's a book of deeds. And you know what? This page right here, this was yesterday. And this right here is today. And this right here is Monday. And this right here is Tuesday. Each day you're writing a page in your book. And when a year goes by, you've added another chapter to your book. But here, right here, this will be today. And this will be Monday. And this will be Tuesday. What are you going to do? How are you going to live? How am I going to live? It's a sobering thought, isn't it? And so, on God's reading list, there's this book of deeds. The deeds of man will be recorded. And they will be the basis of our judgment. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, that every idle word we will give an account of in the judgment day, because God is recording those things. And look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, a familiar passage, that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of the deeds that are done in the body, whether they be good or bad. Well, where are those deeds held? They're held in a book of they're held in a book of deeds. They're held in a book and a record. And as we stand before God in judgment, Romans 2 and verse 6, we will be judged according to the deeds that are done in the body. Each day you're writing a page in your book. Each year you're writing another chapter. And we don't know the length of this book. James says that our life is like a vapor. But each day you live, you've just written a page. Yesterday you wrote a page. And the day before you wrote a page. And you'll continue that throughout time. What is being recorded in that page? What is being recorded in that chapter and in that book? Whatever it is, it will be brought up in the judgment day. You know what? Stop and think about that. Can you rewrite yesterday's page? It's been written. You can't rewrite it. So here's Saturday. Here's Friday. Here's Thursday. Here's last Wednesday. You can't rewrite those, can you? And so it's a sobering thought. When it's written, it's written. So what did we do yesterday and Friday and the day before, you see? Our thoughts, our words, our deeds, our actions. We cannot rewrite those pages, but you know what we can do? Turn with me to Isaiah 43, verse 25. What if there is some sin yesterday, or Friday, or Thursday, or Wednesday, or the Tuesday before? What can we do? We cannot rewrite those. We cannot rewrite history. You know that there are those who want to engage in this revisionist history. They want to make it act like it never happened. And so they rewrite American history. Or they rewrite what happened in World War II. They if there's a black eye somewhere, they want to try to smudge it out and act like it never happened. We cannot rewrite the pages in our book. But you know what we can do? We can have them edited. And by that I mean that if there are things done in the past that should not have been done, we can seek God's forgiveness. In Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25, this is the God that we serve. I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. We cannot rewrite these pages, but we can have them edited by God's mercy and grace and forgiveness if we'll come and obey Him. And we're going to talk about that later in the lesson. Now, while we cannot rewrite past pages, I would suggest that we can control what is written tomorrow on tomorrow's page. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. We cannot rewrite past pages, but we can control what is going to be written on tomorrow's page. Peter, talking about the earth and the works being burned up and the coming judgment day and the promise of heaven, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11, seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved,
In other words, God is going to come and destroy the earth and the works therein. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But according to this promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for these things, give diligence that you may be found in peace, without spot and blameless in His sight. Do you know what? This is yesterday's page, and you can't do anything about changing it. It's written. But you know what? This is today's page, and you can control that. And this is Monday's page right here. And we can live holy. And we can live in peace. And we can live on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday blameless and without spot. You see, we know that we want to look forward to that heaven, and we're going to control the future pages and what is written in the content therein, because we want our deeds to be right with God. The second book that God is reading is this book of deeds. But there's a third book on God's reading list similar to this. Turn with me to the book of Malachi. As you're turning back to Malachi, let me say that I'm encouraged that I and my family can be surrounded by godly brethren here at Memorial Boulevard, and parents who are trying to raise their children right, and spouses who are trying to be right in their marriage, and Christians who are trying to go to work and live right at work, and young Christians who are trying to live right at school, and those types of things. And I want you to know this right here, that your good deeds do not go unnoticed by God. They don't go unnoticed by me, but more importantly, they don't go unnoticed by God. So you keep living the way you're living, and doing good and doing right, because there's this third book that I want to talk about. This is on God's reading list, and that is what He calls the Book of Remembrance. Look at Malachi chapter 3. This is in the setting at the end of the Babylonian captivity. God's people have come back. The temple's been rebuilt. They're offering up the sacrifices again. And some Jews have gone right back into some sins. Apparently the Babylonian captivity did not cure them. It did not teach them. And so they're coming back, and there's some problems after the Babylonian captivity. Some are robbing God. Some are not bringing the right kind of sacrifice. Several things are listed here. But among those who came back, there were faithful, godly brethren. And when they lived right and did right, God was not up in heaven unaware of that good. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, then they that feared Jehovah, not everybody that came back engaged in wrongdoing. There were those who feared God and were faithful. Then they that feared Jehovah spake one with another. They were unified. And Jehovah hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared Jehovah and that sought upon His name. We're going to worship God, to seek upon His name. We're going to follow His authority. We're going to worship Him. We're going to fear Him. We're going to serve Him. Yes, there were those that robbed God, chapter 3, verse 8. Yes, there were those who brought the lame sacrifices and said, oh, what a weariness it is, chapter 1. But there were those that lived faithfully, and they were remembered. And you're going to be remembered for the good that you do. The good that you did last week, the good that you're going to do in this upcoming week. And so what a great thing it is that God has this third book, this book of remembrance. He's going to remember what you're doing. You know what? Do you do things at work that people care nothing about? Oh, absolutely. Do you do things in your community and at home that the world doesn't care anything about? Absolutely. But God's going to remember that. You may go to work and you may be honest and talk right and live right and tell the truth and work hard. Co-workers don't care anything about that. They're living their own selfish lives, whatever. You're not going to get a plaque for that. But you're going to get a book of remembrance. So you keep living right at home and at work and out in the community and with your family and with your spouse, and you'll be rewarded for that. God does not forget the good that you do. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work
and the love which you have showed toward his name, in that you ministered unto the saints, and still do minister. There's a book of remembrance. And you keep fearing God, and you keep serving him, and he won't forget that. It'll be recorded. There's a fourth book on God's reading list. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. You know, this book of deeds and this book of remembrance, God remembers the good that people do, but God also remembers the bad that people do. And when they will not turn and repent, he's going to come and judge them. And there's a book that God has called the Book of Judgment. And when we don't live right, and when the world doesn't live right, and we're going to focus primarily now on the nations, including America, the United States, when a nation chooses not to live right, God is looking down from heaven, and he's observing that. He's observing what's going on in the Middle East. He's observing what's going on in the United States and in North Korea and in China and any other country you want. You remember the Amalekites when God's people were passing through, going on to Canaan land, and they resisted their brethren and fought with them? Verse 14, Exodus 17. And Jehovah said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And later he did that in the days of Samuel, when Samuel was told to utterly go destroy the Amalekites. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 5 with regard to Rome. God has a book. It's a book of judgment for nations. And there's one written for the United States, just like there's one written for any nation. A good example of this is if you'll take your Old Testament and turn to the book of Isaiah, there's a chapter on Babylon, and there's a chapter on Edom, and there's a chapter on Egypt, and there's a chapter on this nation and a chapter on that nation. Why is that? Because God is looking at nations and leaders of nations. He's looking for pride and rebellion, and he's looking for immorality and wickedness, and he looks for those kinds of things, and he records those things, and then he comes and judges that nation. In Revelation chapter 5, turn with me there, the first few verses of Revelation chapter 5 is a question. Who is worthy to open this book? We'll skip over that for right now. The answer is Jesus. He's worthy, and he comes and he opens this book. But we want to get to the contents of the book. Look at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sing a new song saying, worthy art thou, that's Jesus, to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain and you did purchase unto God, and with thy blood men of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and you made them unto our God to be a kingdom and to be priests. So Jesus, because of who he is and what he's done, is worthy to open this book. But what is this book? You have to read chapter 6. When you read Revelation chapter 6 and you see that the Lamb begins to take off these seals. Now again, in New Testament times, a book was not like what we have in our hands, this thing here with a binding on the end. It was a roll. It was a scroll. And so there's this book, this roll, if you will, that has seals around it. And each time you take off a seal, it's God's way of saying, I am revealing something about what is inside here. I am opening up the contents of this book. And what it is, when you read chapter 6, and the seven seals are opened up, it is judgment upon Rome. It is a book of judgment. And so we find then that God has a book of judgment for nations. And Rome is the subject of this one. In Isaiah, it was Babylon and these other nations. But look at verse 16. The citizens of Rome, and they were brought down ultimately about 400 AD. God judged them. They were no longer a nation. And they say to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For great is the day of wrath is come. And who is able to stand? The opening of the six seals is the same as chapter 8, the blowing of the seven trumpets. It's judgment on Rome. It's this book. But turn with me now to Revelation chapter 10, where John is told to take a little book.
And he's supposed to take this little book and eat it. This is the same idea of judgment. I'm pronouncing judgment on Rome. Chapter 10, verse 9, he said, "Take it and eat it, and it shall make thy belly bitter." Why? Because it's God's judgment on the people. "But thy mouth it shall be sweet as honey." And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my belly was made bitter. And they say unto me, "Thou must prophesy again over many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." God has a book of judgment. And what that is, it comes up later in chapter 17 and 18. Again, God's judgment on Rome. Now, a book is being written for the United States. And a book is being written for every nation. And God is going to hold them accountable. I don't know how much more time this nation has. All that we can do is live faithfully within the nation that we're in. Turn with me to chapter 6 and verse 9. In this opening up judgment on Rome, in the middle of this, look at the fifth seal. Chapter 6 and verse 9, "And he opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of them that had been slain for the word of God." You keep living faithfully in the nation that you're in, even though it's going down the tubes, and it's going to pot, and it's going down that slippery slope of sin. You keep living faithfully, and one day you'll be rewarded. "These souls were slain for the word of God and for the testimony, and they cried out, how long?" But look at where they are. Their souls that had been slain, and they're underneath the altar. They're near God in heaven. You're going to be rewarded. America's time is coming, like all nations, no doubt. And God has a roll, a scroll, a book for this nation, just like any nation. And He's looking at its deeds. He's looking at whether or not it wants to make some changes. Turn with me to chapter 9, and this is the factor that God is looking for. We've had the six seals, now we have the seven seals, now the seven trumpets. And in chapter 9, the seven trumpets are concluding, they've been blown. But look at chapter 9 and verse 21. "And they repented not of their murders, their sorceries, their fornications, or their thefts." That's what God is looking for in a nation. Are they going to repent or not? And what I'm seeing in our nation is there's not much repentance going on. And so it's just a matter of time. Verse 20. "The rest of mankind who were not killed with these plagues." God sends messages to get people to come back, and when they don't heed those messages, "the rest repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons." We're going to keep doing that. "And that they should not worship idols." No, we're going to keep doing that. "And they repented not of their murders and their sorceries and their fornication or their thefts." And so God judged them. That's what God is looking for. But He has a book of judgment. And all we can do is, when we live in a nation that is just going down and will not repent, we have to keep living faithfully. God has a book of life. That's the last book that I want to talk about this morning on God's reading list. He has a book of law, a book of deeds, a book of remembrance, a book of judgment, and a book of life. And here's what it all boils down to. And they all relate. If we obey what is in the book of the law, we can have our name written in the book of life. If we will continue to have faithful deeds, then we will continue to be in the Lamb's book of life. God has a book of those who have obeyed the gospel and are living right. And it's called the book of life. And this has always been the case, not just in the New Testament. Look at Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Daniel is talking about the faithful at that time who are being persecuted. And Daniel chapter 12 verse 1 says, "God will protect them because their name is written in the book." Jesus said to the 70 when they came back in Luke 10 and verse 20, "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3 about his co-workers that their names are written in the book of life. What is that? When we obey the gospel, God records our name. Stop and think about all the different names of people who have obeyed the gospel through the years. Not one of them has been forgotten by God. Names are often forgotten, but not by God. He writes them in His book. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Lord added them daily, such as who should be saved. The Lord adds to His church, and He puts a name down in His book of life, and He doesn't forget that. And so we need to obey the gospel. This book of the law, we need to obey it. And this book of deeds, we need to begin with our name being put in the book of life. And it's important to have it there in the judgment day. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. Let's remind ourselves before we close this morning of the importance of having our name there. Well, what does it matter if my name is there? Well, here's why it matters. In chapter 13 and verse 8, "And they that dwell on the earth, everyone whose name hath not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life, they're going to be judged." Look at chapter 17 and verse 8. Chapter 17 and verse 8. "The beast that you saw, who was and is not and is about to come out of the abyss and to go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose name hath not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast, how that he was and is shall come." The devil and all who follow him, and everyone in the world who will not obey the gospel, whose name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, they're going to be judged by God. Look at chapter 20 and verse 15 that Shannon read earlier. "If anyone," and that includes all of us here this morning, and everyone in Springfield and Robertson County and Tennessee and all around the world, "if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire." That's why it's important for me to obey the gospel. My name has to be written there. In fact, we sing that in our song, but will my name be written there? Will it be in that Lamb's book of life when the Lord comes again? If not, verse 15, I'm going to be cast into eternal destruction. In chapter 21 and verse 27, "Who are those who are in heaven? And who are those who are in hell? And there shall be no wise enter into it, into heaven, anything unclean, or he that maketh an abomination and a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's book of life." We have to obey the gospel. It's extremely important. But after we obey the gospel and have our name recorded there, God can take it out. The Bible doesn't teach once saved, always saved. The Bible doesn't teach once in the book of life, always in the book of life. Turn with me to Exodus 32. Do you remember the case of the golden calf there, and God's people had sinned in the matter of the golden calf, and Moses is entreating for them, "Please do not blot out the nation of Israel." And in Exodus 32 and verse 32, he's willing to be blotted out himself. He's willing to be a sacrifice, as it were, for the people. "Blot me out, I pray." But look at verse 33. Jehovah said unto Moses, "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." All of these books are interrelated. How do we sin? Well, when we violate the book of God's law. And how does God know about that sin? His book of deeds, you see. They're all interrelated. And if I have sin in my life this morning, I need to get rid of that because I have been blotted out. I need to come and have that sin washed away in baptism. Or, as an erring child of God, I need to confess that and pray and seek forgiveness. In Psalm 69 and verse 28, David talks about the wicked that he was surrounded by and how that they would be blotted out of the book. And in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, in speaking to the church there at Sardis, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, they were to overcome and be faithful, "and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life." The implication is it can be blotted out if we're not faithful. Faithful living will keep us in that book. Sinful living will have us blotted out. Well, the lesson is yours, God's reading list. You know, in the judgment day, it won't have anything to do with Oprah Winfrey's book club or New York Times bestseller list or anything like that. All it has to do with in the judgment day is God's books, God's reading list, what He's interested in. And He's interested in the book of His Word, the book of deeds, the book of remembrance, the book of judgment, and the book of the Lamb's book of life. These books are going to be open. And it's not the first time. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 10, and judging the nations at that time, Daniel says that the books were open and God judged.
This idea of books being associated with divine judgment goes back to the days of Daniel. And at the end of time, books will be opened. These books that we've talked about this morning. Now, we can't change anything in this book. It's been written. And it's been once for all delivered to the saints. But that book of deeds, you're writing each page each day. You are in control of that. And so let's live in such a way that when those books are open and we're judged according to our deeds, that we will be found faithful in that day. We know what God is reading. Knowing what God is reading, do we need to make some changes? You know, the next time you go to work or you're out talking with your neighbors and they say something like, "Do you know what so-and-so is reading? Do you know what they're recommending?" What you can say to them, "Well, do you know what God is reading? Do you know what's on His reading list? That's what I'm interested in. Have you read the latest bestseller?" "Well, I'm focusing on God's reading list. That's what's going to matter in the judgment day." And if we need to make some changes this morning, let's do that. One more thought. The judgment day will not be a pop quiz. It'll be an open book test. The books will be open, and we know what the books are. The book of God's Word, the book of deeds, the book of remembrance, we know what it is. We already know what's on the test. Jesus said, "The words that I spoke, the same shall judge you in the last day." We already know what's on the test. It's not going to be a surprise. We just simply need to live in such a way that we live according to God's Word. And so this morning is our opportunity. Gospel preaching is what helps us get ready. Reading our Bibles and living faithful each day is what gets us ready. We're going to be judged according to the gospel of Christ, Romans 2:16. We already know what it is. Let's make sure we bring our life into conformity to God's Word. If you're subject this morning, if we can help you, if we can assist you to make your life right, why won't you come? If you know of someone that needs to make some changes, let them know about God's reading list. Let them know that they're going to have to make some changes. And those who are here today who are living faithfully and living right, and I'm encouraged by my brethren here. We've always been built up and edified by our brethren here. That book of remembrance. Each day, those good things that you're doing, just keep doing those good things. God's going to remember those and bring that book open, and you'll be rewarded faithfully for that. If we can encourage you to make your life right, if we can assist you in any way, why wouldn't you come as we stand and sing?